Well, hello, everyone. So, Lord, I just want to thank you for your word, and I just thank you for adding spiritual words to spiritual thoughts. I want to talk to you about grace, which is, I guess, one of my favorite subjects. It's also one of God's favorite subjects because he's a God of grace. It says about the Lord in Romans that he's a God of hope. He's a God of hope because he's a God of grace. He's a God of hope, hear that again, because he's a God of grace. Grace means that he's taken all the burden on himself. We proved very clearly in our lost condition before we became Christians that there was nothing that we could do about the fact that we were at enmity with God, that there was separation between us and God. God never separated himself from us. We separated ourselves from him. When Adam and Eve fell and they hid behind the trees from God, God came looking for them. God didn't hide from them. God's a God of grace who's always pursuing us. But the finished work of Christ on the cross was an act of grace. Romans talks about it again and again as a free gift, like a free gift from God. But you think you could say it was free from God or it was a gift from God? But when Paul uses the word free and gift, it's almost like he's repeating himself, but he's trying to make the point that this thing is a free gift from God. There's a cool verse, as a matter of fact. I hadn't thought about this one, but I want to show you this. It's a really familiar one. We usually use it when we're sharing the gospel with lost people. It's actually a word in Romans 6 speaking to Christians. Now remember, whenever the word eternal life is used, it actually carries the meaning of John 10:10, where it says that Jesus came that we, plural, might have life and have it more abundantly. That was God's grace dream for us. Before eternity ever was, when he thought of us, when he thought about our birthing, and he thought about our life, he dreamed that he would create a people that would participate in his life, in all that he is, and all that he has. We would carry his life, and we would manifest his likeness, enjoying his fellowship, and that we would, and so that was always his heart, that we would have life and life more abundant. Now, the fall really messed things up. And God's solution to the fall wasn't our working our way out of that mess, because there was nothing we could do to get out of that situation. So by grace, his provision was that he would include all of us in all of our brokenness and all of our sinfulness, all of our moodiness, all of this stuff, yucky stuff, into his person. He would take it into himself, and that Christ would die on the cross as us. And therefore we, the old person that we once were, died in him and was buried, so that in Christ we might be raised from the dead, participating in his life, which makes me have newness of life. My inclusion, your inclusion, into the life that Jesus lives is the abundant life that will last forever. My union with Christ is the abundant life that will last forever. So we don't have time to get it. Maybe we will this week about eternal life. Look at those words a little bit deeper. But they carry the idea of the abundant life that God's always dreamed for us to experience in Christ, in union with Christ. The abundant life in Christ that lasts forever. And so in Romans chapter 6, he says this. He kind of concludes an argument in Romans chapter 6. He says in verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." That's talking about spiritual death. "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Eternal life is not first and foremost something that's chronological. It's about quality. It's the life that Jesus lived. It's our inclusion into the life that Jesus lives, and therefore his inclusion into the life that we live. This mutual indwelling, this union, I in Christ, Christ in me. John talks about that a lot in John chapter 15, 16, 17. And so my inclusion in the life of Jesus is God's free gift. My forgiveness is God's free gift. Jesus took me in his person to the place of execution so that my sins were paid for in him. He died as me. And he also put to death the sinner, the slave to sin, so that risen from the dead in Christ, I could have new life as a new creation in him. All grace, all a gift from God. Matter of fact, it says in Ephesians about getting saved. He says in Ephesians chapter 8, this is very familiar. Again, We share this with a lot with people who aren't. I've shared this a lot with people in the streets and sharing the gospel. For by grace you have been saved. Now, Paul's writing this to believers because he wants them to understand what happened in their new birth. Because sadly, so many Christians need the gospel preached to them, not so that they'll get saved, so that they'll understand what it means to be saved and how God accomplished that and is still accomplishing His saving grace in our lives even now. For by grace you have been saved, it's the free gift, through faith. And it's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of works that anyone should boast. Grace brings all the glory to God. And so I got saved because of the free gift of God. It had nothing to do with my good works. You and I didn't have to jump through anybody's, any kind of hoops, any kind of religious hoops to get born again. He accomplished it on the cross 2,000 years ago. And it became actualized when you and I said yes, when we accepted our acceptance, when we put our faith in Christ. Now, here's the interesting thing. If by grace you have been saved, that's how it started. Look what it says in chapter 2 of Colossians. Chapter 2 of Colossians, it says in verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, or just as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, you didn't achieve Christ Jesus the Lord. You didn't do anything to achieve your new birth. So just as you received as a free gift Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, in union with Him. How? By just receiving, moment by moment, the grace that's ours in Christ. We got saved by grace. We lived the Christian life by grace. The burden is all on Him from the very beginning, at the start, and continue so every step, because a walk is one step at a time. He says in verse 7, having been rooted and now being built up in Christ. Having been rooted and being built up in Christ. And so, just like you received Him, by grace, through faith, faith is how we receive, trusting Him, that we're to take every step of our walk with the Lord by grace, through faith, by simply trusting that the burden is on Him now to live the Christian life through me, to be the Christian as the burden was on Him, to provide a way to become a Christian through the cross. The burden's on Him. It's all grace. He knows that we can no more be Christ-like apart from grace, the free gift of Christ's life being lived through me, than we could become a Christian. To receive Christ was a result of God's grace on the cross. To become Christ-like is to continue to receive by grace, by faith, the grace of the life of Christ in me to be Christ-like through me. Christ-likeness is not an imitation. Christ-likeness is a participation. And it's all by grace, through faith, one step at a time. It says in Colossians chapter 3, it's one of my favorite verses. In verse 3 it says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The person that used to be died, and the life that you now live is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is now hidden with Christ. That's the life that you have. Christ is your life. You have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer you, the old independent you that live, but Christ who now lives in you. And the life which you now live in the flesh, in your humanity, you live, this is the literal language, King James gets it right this time. The life that you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. And then I love this scripture, and we'll stop with this one. This is Romans chapter 5. Verse 10, for if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, I had nothing to do with that. God reconciled me to Himself. That's crazy. God reconciled me to Himself. How can He reconcile me? Because He did His part and my part. We'll talk about that maybe again one day this week. He reconciled me to Himself through His blood. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now the word by is actually the preposition in. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in His life. Saved from what? Not just from sin, but from ourselves. and that's all grace. Don't you wish that somebody could just supernaturally save you from losing your temper, Christian? Save you from being moody? Save you from being controlled by your emotions? Save you from being temperamental? Save you from being grumpy, grouchy, critical? Save you from the struggle you have with addictions that could be to drugs or alcohol or pornography? Save you from feeling for being insecure? Save you from guilt and condemnation, self-rejection? Don't you wish that somebody could do that? Oh, Jesus Christ has included you into his life, that you might, your life is now hidden in him. And all those tendencies, all those weaknesses are hidden in him. And in your weaknesses, strength is made perfect. Your life is now lived out in Christ. It's all him. It's all grace. One step at a time, by faith, trusting him, that the burden is on him and he's faithful. He's faithful. He even says about him in 2 Timothy 2:13, for even when we believe not, he will abide faithful because he cannot deny himself. So the truth is, we simply rest. That's what faith is, resting in his faithfulness. The grace that when I get tempted, the grace, the gift, a free gift of his life to overcome that temptation, the free gift of his ability to not give in to moodiness, the free gift of his ability to not give in to grouchiness or addiction or whatever you want to say, because my life is now hidden with Christ. And so I'm now living by his ability as a free gift, step by step, to forgive. It's not about whether you can forgive somebody or not. Can Jesus forgive them? And you're in union with him. And your weakness, his strength is made perfect. So by grace, we forgive people. By his ability to forgive, we simply sink into that, rest into that. To love someone who's become unlovable, it's by grace. It's our Jesus. We simply trust him for that. The Christian life begins by grace. By grace, we have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's not a result of work. It's a gift from God that we may boast in him. Colossians 2 says, just like we received him, the grace of our new birth we received by faith as a free gift, we live the Christian life step by step by the grace that's in Christ Jesus. We are now hidden in him. We live by faith. We trust in his grace. That's about anything that may rise up in you that's coming against you or any circumstance in your life. You can trust that the burdens on him to actually cause that to work together for good, to either do this or to do that. It's his life to live now through us. And we're going to trust him with it because it's all by grace now. We can just rest, quit worrying about it, quit trying to figure it out, work it out. Just trust him by grace. And if he wants you to have some ideas and gives you some thoughts and some wisdom and participation, how to participate in the unraveling of some situation, you can trust him in that and not be panicking in your heart. I'm not talking about passivity. I'm talking about resting in the free gift of his activity. There's a huge difference. Let the burden be on him by grace through faith. We began and we live the Christian life. Amen. Well, thanks for listening in, for watching. Again, if you believe this has some value, share it with some of your friends. But we'll be doing this every day through Thursday at noon. Just a short little word about our life in Christ. And so be blessed. Thanks for, again, participating. My prayer is that the rest of the day, you'll know the wonders of the abundant life that Jesus lives. And you'll experience his experience. You'll experience his experience. Instead of living for him, you'll learn to live from him. Okay, have a great day.